But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app. It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Yesterday, I remember Sal saying that he heard the beginning of our show yesterday. I don't know yet. I'm about to find out. We are all about to find out if Sal was listening to the beginning of our show today. If you were, Sal, did you not enjoy our relitigating for the 8,000th time Everybody Eats? And if you missed it, I'm sure we can keep this short so you can get to that Odyssey app and hear it.
Number one, before I say anything, I'd like to wish happy birthday to my wife, Yana, today. Want to make sure that I do that.
All right. So, happy birthday to your wife from me, too. Yeah.
Thank you. Number two, I this time have not listened to a single second of your show until I just hooked up with Zach in the break to talk to you guys.
Okay.
That's it. We're done then. We're not friends anymore.
Bulldog decided he was sick of me, equivocating, just sort of pondering.
Who's going to catch the ball for the Bills in the playoffs? Who's going to catch? Look at this. 2.5 is the betting line on this. It's like enough already. They scored 30 points a game. I'm done.
Asking still whether it works. How about that? Right. Asking still whether it works. I mean, I did. It did include looking at some of the prop lines. Yes. Because I can't believe how low they are. I don't know. Sal, generally, first, what kind of game do you see here? Like, the Bills' implied total is 28 points. That's a nice number. Yep. I mean, they've been living in the 30s. So 28 gives them their respect. But individually, and this is in line with the whole mantra with them, the prop numbers are really low kind of across the board.
Yeah, and listen, I love listening to you guys. I was just, you know, I'm grinding. I'm working here, right? I was listening to press conferences and, you know, writing articles. So, you know, no offense to you guys. I'm sure it was a fantastic first half hour when you were talking about it. I actually have been leaning more towards a lower score. And the reason is because not that I don't think the Bills can score. I don't think they'll have to put their foot on the gas as much in this game if they just kind of play the game they want to play. I think with the way that the Broncos play defense, you don't want to give them anything. You don't want to give them an opportunity to take balls away from you. To, you know, Marvin Mims in the return game, you got to be buttoned up there. Like, don't give them short fields. And the way to do that is, hey, don't give them the ball. Like I said, you know, don't make mistakes. So that might lend itself to a bit of a, you know, a bit of a lower scoring game because you're trying to just say, hey, we're going to play a little bit more conservative. In fact, I would even say that about how Sean McDermott might coach this game. I've thought about he's actually been very good with, like, you know, and he's been more aggressive, I think, than people might realize or give him credit for. But he's been pretty aggressive all year, fourth down situations. I don't know if he's going to be as aggressive this game. My guess is he wouldn't be because this is not a team that, as opposed to a team like Kansas City when they went for it on fourth and six and that, you know, big Josh Allen run at the end of the game. And he said, look, we had to score. We weren't going to give them the ball back. You have to be aggressive in those situations. I don't think this is that kind of team where you fear you have to do that. So maybe you play a field position game.
I definitely hear that. But someone riding in their car must be having the same thought I'm having right now, which is to yell back, they're not taking Denver seriously. They're underestimating Denver if they're going to approach
us
the game that way.
Right? Or the Bills.
Yeah, the Bills.
No, I look at it the other way. I think you're taking them seriously enough that you don't want to give them opportunities to stay in the game with you.
Okay. Yep. I got you.
Careful, then. Careful.
Right.
Because that really was a big criticism of him and them in the last few years. Not that there's been so much of that, but it was one of last year's main themes, keeping underdogs close. The game against the Broncos, the game against the Patriots, the game against the Giants, the game against the Bucks, not being able or willing, some combination of hammering their opponent, their weaker opponent, maybe when they had the lead, whenever they had more of an opportunity to do that. Careful if you want to slow play this game.
I like that point, and I will tell you that there's certainly a flaw in my logic, which is this. You know, when you do have an aggressive defense, a defense is going to be looking to make plays, you're going to have opportunities to make plays, right? That's what's going to happen in that situation. They are very good at getting after the quarterback, and they'll blitz. Well, guess what? The Bills are basically the best team in the league at protecting their quarterback, and their quarterback is very good at escaping all of that. And if you do that, you're going to have guys open, and you're going to have running room, and you're going to have room downfield. So the counter to what I just said, even from my own brain, is, okay, well, listen, like you want to invite them to be aggressive because you're going to take advantage of their aggressiveness. And that could open up, making it a really quickly, a couple quick scores, higher scoring game. There's no doubt about it. Now, on the everybody eats thing, I do think that's something that we'll see this week, which is, look, we talked about this. They have Patrick Surtain. I mean, I don't know who he's going to cover, what their game plan is going to be, but I just figure, hey, you know what? Wherever he is, I'm probably going to someone else, which lends itself to a lot of people catching passes.
Yeah, I sort of feel a few things here, Sal. Like, I think we've seen the Bills, despite, like, you know, slow play, you know, if you don't need to have your foot on the gas, the Bills have gone after what they believe is the weak thing on an opposing defense with regularity, right? Right from the beginning of the season, right? Jacksonville, like, oh, they're going to play man-to-man. We're throwing it on you, and this game's over by, I don't know, the second quarter. So that's there, and I think this game with the style of defense Denver is known for playing, we'll see if they throw some kind of big cross-up in there, those opportunities should be there in the passing game for Allen and with his legs out of the passing game as well if they're playing man-to-man and blitzing. So I think that lends itself to maybe the score getting a little higher. That's one thing. The other thing, and I think we've already touched on this and you just mentioned it, I feel like having the superpower of a lockdown corner on your team is somewhat negated if there's not an obvious guy to lock down. And so it's the most I can buy this way is better than having a stud, right? Because if the Bills had Diggs, or if Cooper had gotten here and caught 50 passes or something in the time he's been here, be like, well, they're going to take Cooper away. What are we going to do now? Well, what are we going to do now has been the Bills' whole season. So they're prepared for that. So if you want to put Surtain on Cooper because he's the most accomplished guy, maybe the most reliable one-on-one guy that the Bills would think can beat people, so you're going to put your best guy on him, okay. I don't know that you really need to, but you're doing that, and now what? You know, now I feel like I've taken a chess piece away from you. Like, he's still on the field. You're using him, but he's not deployed to his full capabilities.
No, I agree with that. And, you know, you could just kind of figure out where he isn't, what you'd normally do anyway, and say, hey, we have options. You know, this is not a team that's reliant on Stephon Diggs. And then I think, you know, in the years past, when a team did want to take Stephon Diggs away, what were we questioning? Well, is Gabe Davis able to handle that role? Is Gabe Davis able to be a number one? Because even after that, it's like, that might be your only option. Here, it's like, there's no other guy you didn't have to have a number one, but you had a lot of really good options still that you can throw to that you've been using all year. And I think, you know, we've talked about this earlier this week, guys. I think in this game especially, too, though, one of the big areas where the Bills have a really big advantage is attacking the linebackers in pass coverage at the second level, and that's where running backs come in, and that's where maybe the tight ends come in. But running backs out of the backfield has been a bit of an issue for the Denver Broncos this year in covering them, and partly because they blitz a lot. You know, Nick Bonito is really good at getting to the passer. Well, he's, you know, a linebacker who comes off and blitzes. Well, guess what? When he blitzes, Now you have an open spot. That's a hot read. You just go right to that spot. You replace them. You dump it down. I mean, I think that that's something the Bills have excelled at this year at times. So it feels to me like what the Broncos want to do that they're very good at, the Bills actually are pretty well equipped to handle it.
Yeah, if you didn't just say everything you wanted to say about this, it is an interesting facet of this matchup is, can Denver get to Allen? And to get to Allen is one thing, but to actually bring him down is another. There are lots of examples we can all think of the pocket, not that it happens all the time either, but the pocket closing in on Allen and he wiggles away. He's elite at that. So if Denver can Denver create pressure inside or out, And then B, what does it lead to? Because if they can, I mean, the Bills did not get sacked this year, right? Like, near the top of the league in fewest sacks. That happening early in this game could shake the Bills a little bit.
Agreed with you. If they are getting to Allen early in the game, the Bills are going to have to come up with a kind of a different kind of a way to attack. And then I would imagine they'd start leaning on the run game. But this is a really good run defense, too, the Denver Broncos. So, yeah, I mean, that's the one area. That is, Ryan Fitzpatrick actually was on with Andrew Whitworth. I saw a clip today. And Fitz actually talked about this very thing, and he said he liked the Bills because of that. He said, look, the one thing that they do really well, the Broncos, the best thing they do more things than one well. The best thing they do is rush the passer, get to the quarterback, but that is like the Bills' strength. So you can have a really good chance to negate that, and that's why he liked him. I do too. If you want the actual number too, it's pretty remarkable. Sacks per pass attempt. The Bills rank number one in the league. They're the, get this, guys, every team in the league has allowed over 4% of their quarterback get sack and pass attempts, except the Bills were less than 3%. It is their number one and two teams, by the way. The Broncos are very good at this. The number one and two teams in the league at not allowing sacks per pass attempt. Number one, the Bills, only 2.69%. Number two, the Broncos, 4.21%.
Well, I'll bet they get there in very different ways, though, right? Allen escapability is largely, I think, responsible for that. Whereas with Denver, Nick's can escape too, so you've got that. But it's also that offense is, if it's on time, that ball's coming out in 2.1 seconds. I mean,
reminds me of the Dolphins in that regard, right?
Right.
Bulldog, which is like, it's a timing offense. It's Sean Payton making things easy for a rookie quarterback, easier for a rookie quarterback, and giving him, you know, easier reads and saying, okay, we're just going to get the ball, rid of the ball, you know, quickly as possible. And look, I do think in this game, you know, it's a rookie quarterback. It's going to be a very loud environment, of course, when they're on the field. I think this game might impact that more than other games because, you know, you're going to have a rookie coming in his first NFL start, and those checks and that communication is going to be a little bit tougher.
Looking at this stuff all as well here, last year the Bills' sack percentage on offense, so Allen, 3.98 was the best in the league, and it was 24 sacks. And this year he was sacked 10 fewer times. The percentage is lower, too. I'm not sure it led the league. Maybe you just said it didn't. Denver, maybe. But the Bills threw the ball 100 fewer times than last year. So 14 sacks. 2 years ago, Allen got sacked 33 times. 33 sacks and 14 picks, 47. To last year, 24 sacks and 18 picks, 42. To this year, 14 sacks and 6 interceptions, 20. I don't have fumbles in here either, but that wasn't much either. So, really, a dramatic.
Two lost.
Yeah. Arizona and Baltimore. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. Like, a steep downturn in the drive killing plays or, you know, turnovers. Incredible.
And that's, but that's entirely, well, not some of it's luck, but a lot of that's by design.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, that's Joe Brady and this offense, right?
Isn't this. Let's go back to how many years we've been talking about this stuff. Isn't this kind of the way Sean McDermott's wanted to play football?
Yeah.
Right? Like, eliminate these negative plays, don't throw interceptions, hold on to the football. And I think that was always confused with, well, that means he wants to just run the ball and 3 yards of cloud of dust and be conservative, and you have this Ferrari in there, but you're treating him like a Toyota truck, right? It's not. I think really what they've done here is they've had a really great formula to do all of that, but still have this MVP quarterback throwing the football for a bunch of touchdowns and doing it this way. And honestly, guys, Aaron Cromer's a big part of that, too. And the Bills have done a great job with, you know, building the offensive line and having a vision. That's Brandon Bean and his staff. They've done a really nice job there. But Aaron Cromer is a really, really good offensive line coach. And even Deion Dawkins today giving him a lot of praise. And I know guys do that all the time. I get it. But, you know, you talk to Eric Wood about Aaron Cromer, and he'll tell you, like, this guy is just very, very smart. And the way that Eric always describes him, I love how he says this. He's a solutions guy. Like, when there's a problem and you see what the other team is doing, Aaron Cromer is one of the best he's ever been around with finding a solution for that.
Yeah, man, that really is – It's one of the sneaky great things about this Bills season is that the line last year, they played all the snaps together last year. This year is close to that, right? I mean, they had Vandermark had to play a little bit with Spencer Brown out, right? But still, mostly they've had their five. And that's with, I think, an excellent center who is very valuable, and they used his skill set, Mitch Morse, to get him out in space and pulling. And they changed that position entirely. I mean, different dude, very different style. And here we are. The five have stayed mostly together, like I mentioned, you know, a bit here and there with Brown out and whatever, you know, nicks and bruises. But nobody's missed games. And the new center, McGovern's, done an outstanding job up there.
He has. You know where the Bills really got hurt over the last few years? Mitch was really good at a lot of things, but when they faced a really good anchoring nose guard, an anchoring shade, a guy who plays just off to the center, like that hurt the Bills over the last several years. You go all the way back to that Houston game when DJ Reader was there, and we've seen DJ Reader a few times, Reader, including the Detroit game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they haven't been hurt like that by that type of player this year, because Connor McGovern's been really good at making sure. Now, he's also athletic enough. I don't know if he pulls quite as bit as Mitch did or get out in space, but he still can do it very well, and he's a very good athlete. We know that. He's played a bunch of different positions, but they have two very athletic tackles in Deion Dawkins and Spencer Brown. You will see them pull. They run a lot of lot of tackle trap stuff where literally Deion's going from left all the way to the right, or Spencer's going right all the way to the left, and I think Connor McGovern has just been an upgrade in handling those big, stout defensive tackles up front.
And Anderson, too, like just sweeping tackle plays, sixth lineman.
Yeah, that's right.
Injury news today, Sal, is there much?
Yeah, Brandon Codrington returned to practice. That is very good news. It's very optimistic. However, let's temper that a little bit with the fact that I did not see him catch a punt specifically. He did take a couple reps. He was out there for it, but he didn't actually catch the punt as they were going through the drills. And then he also told Matt Bovan a tweet where he talked to him. And he said, we'll see. You know, he said he did injure it, you know, at the end of the Patriots game, essentially. He was listed as limited. Now, look, I mean, this is not a player that you have to, he doesn't have to get up to speed on scheme, right? If he's ready to go, you can wait until even Sunday morning. Now, they'll have a plan before that, but maybe we find out tomorrow that Sean McDermott rules him out. Maybe he makes him questionable, says, let's see how the next couple days go. And if he's feeling better by Saturday night and Sunday morning, you can play him because he can catch punts, he can return punts and do that. This isn't a player that has to play a lot on defense and know the game plan and the scheme. He can be limited or out of practice and still have that happen. However, Jamarcus Ingram missed a second straight day for a personal matter and personal excused absence. Obviously, that's a guy that's been a depth piece for you when you go to dime packages especially. But otherwise, guys, they're really, really healthy, especially compared to what they've been the last couple of years in the playoffs.
Can I go ahead and write in Nance and Romo for this game?
Yes.
Okay.
Tracy.
And Tracy Wolfson. I got to update that chart. Remember, we talked about that announcer trivia last week in Bulldogs' absence. This will be the eighth Bills playoff game, including six in a row for Nance and Romo.
And Tracy tweeted today she was, looking forward to coming to Buffalo because it was so cold in New Jersey. So, you know, it's going to be like 30 degrees here. So, I mean, that's kind of balmy, I guess. It won't be bad. Be nice weather, I think, for the game. It reminds me a little bit of the when Indy came a couple of years ago, I think. I mean, even Miami, those wild card games that were played, like bright, you know, some sunny skies.
Indy
but cold
for sure.
Weather.
Yeah, Indy was a sunshine day.
Normal day. A good day for us in these situations. Sal, a couple other wild card questions for you to other games.
Yeah.
How big is the Zay Flowers injury?
I mean, I think it can be big because, you know, he's had a really nice year, but they're so good on offense with what they can do running the ball. And, you know, they have really good tight ends. I don't think it has to move the needle too much. I think they can figure out a way. I think John Harbaugh and, you know, Todd Monken are smart enough to mitigate that a little bit. Zay's a nice player, no doubt about it, but, you know, he's not where their offense flows through. So I think it could matter a little bit, maybe the way the Steelers defend them, but I still think the Ravens have plenty enough to win.
And who do you like in the other Saturday game?
I mean, I like the Chargers. I do feel the Texans can maybe give them a little bit more of a game because they can get after the passer. They're a really good front seven. They can get after the passer, and you know Justin Herbert at times this year he battled some injuries. I think he's healthy now. But you know if they can start, the Chargers don't blow you out. They don't score a ton of points. They've had a couple of games late where you know late in the season where I think they did. They got in fact the last three games in fact 34, 40, and 34. But that was Broncos, Patriots, Raiders. Other than that, they were a team that was scoring pretty much in the 20s or in the teens most of the year.
Okay. Justin Herbert threw three interceptions all season.
Wow.
Does he have that?
He's really good.
Does that surprise? Like, does he have the reputation of a guy that doesn't throw picks?
I don't know him to have that reputation, and that's a stunningly low number. Do you feel like, Sal, looking at him, like I haven't sat and watched a ton of the Chargers, but when I've seen them, especially in the back end of the season, I feel like I'm always catching an announcer or just seeing it with my own eyes, pointing out how Herbert is more willing to run.
Yeah, he has been. He's also been banged up a little bit a couple times, but and that's kind of been talked about a little bit with it. And I don't know if they've necessarily because he's run, but yeah, taking off a little bit here or there. He's pretty mobile.
Yeah,
I don't think people realize how mobile he was coming out of college. Actually, you know, you see because he's got this really live arm, and you know he stands back there and he's this tall guy in the pocket. But you know he can run a little bit. You know, and what's even interesting, I'm looking at this right now, guys. You say that you know he only threw three interceptions, which is right. And I thought, well, you know what? Is he checking it down? He's not. His average like air yard attempt is fourth in the league at 8.6. So I mean, he's throwing it downfield still too.
And it's not the best receiver room. It's
maybe
a little better than we thought, yeah, but it's not the best.
McConkey's nice, and Johnston has bounced back from a terrible rookie year to look like he's got a chance to like be a decent player.
All right. Sal, thank you. Happy birthday to your wife. We'll talk again tomorrow.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
All right. It's our man, Sal Capaccio, on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
I've decided a couple of betting ideas for this Bills game. I'm betting Cooper.
All right. Just over 2.5? Are you going to go to an alternate line?
Over 2.5. And 2 touchdowns. How great would that be? Plus 4,000.
That's pretty good. That's my kind of bet. It's probably going to lose.
That's right.
That's why it's my kind of bet.
It's my kind of bet, too. So, probably going to lose.
The Tage Thompson Sabres on the money line hat trick better.
Tonight?
Sure.
Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's Ottawa. They're just back from a 9-game trip.
Oh no.
Come on. They're gonna be dead on their feet. Dead on their skates.
Easy
Ottawa.
Money. Easy money.
Waltz out of there tonight, Thompson.
20 wins, 8-20 if Cooper scores twice. I don't know. Come on, that's why we did this, Amari Cooper. This is the playoffs. That's why
right.
we did it.
All right.
He's fresh. He'll be fresh.
I like it.
He scored a touchdown in his last game.
Okay. I like it.
803-0550. Who do you like in this game? Obviously, apart from Allen, is there a player that I don't mean that you have to put it in a betting context at all, but that you would that you're counting on?
Although that's preferable.
That's fine. If you do, that's fine.
I'm
but
kidding. People,
whatever you think is right. The Steve Foley Law Sabres pregame show at 6. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
You're educating them as to what wins, you know, ball security and in the field position. And yeah, there's a confidence level that has to be built, though. It can't be just manifested on its own. And that's taken place throughout the course of the season. So obviously we're playing a real good football team and we're going to have to play a real complete game.
Good Sean luck, buddy!
Payton. Sean Payton.
You suck! Sorry, I'm just getting warmed up. You know, that's how I watch the game. I'm always yelling obscenities at the opposing coaches from my couch.
I could see it. Yeah. I could see there being sort of an alt-U.
Yeah, not so much.
That's out there watching games, yelling, losing your mind.
No. I'm way too... I mean, I might have overcorrected. I might be too relaxed. I don't know.
The Joe Ostrowski point got you excited a little bit. And me too. That even though he was still like younger me would have been blasting the fight song
right.
whenever Notre Dame scores.
Not so much that, but he did say he's feeling it.
Yeah, he's feeling it, and his wife is feeling it, and like that. I said in the course of that, like, I've never minded one bit. I mean, I'm married more than 25 years now. I'm fine. My wife is not that into sports. But there's a little envy there, like and that can cut both ways, because you could drive each other crazy. Right, you and I have been like that. Remember when the Sabres were good and they'd be in the playoffs?
Barely.
Like, I remember being really edgy with you on, like, you know, afternoons before playoff games that first year, 06. Anyway, you can kind of grade on one another if you're both agitated because you have anxiety about a sporting event. Like, that can work each other. But I love the idea of the house being just buzzing with that sort of anticipation / anxiety. I've learned anything over the years of talking about this and thinking about how I do it, I don't think there's – I've heard a lot of people, like, even in the run-up to this game, are you excited or nervous? Like, it's all one thing to me. Like, there's always anxiety. There's always going to be nerves. They could lose.
Anxiety is the definition of nervous energy.
And, like, so that's part of being excited. Like, I don't think – I mean, I shouldn't say it that way. For sports, anyway, I think you need that. I mean, I get plenty excited to go see my favorite band or, you know, any band I really, really like. It doesn't have to be my favorite necessarily, but, like, I'm going to see – like, all right, there's really no downside. You know, nobody's going to lose, right? They're going to play. They're probably going to play really well, and it's going to be awesome, and I'm going to leave after 2 hours or whatever and be like, man, that was great, right? So there's no nerves going into that. Sports, that's the juice sports gives you. Like, it's not a guarantee. So, I don't know, nervous or excited, like, it's the same. Like, the nerves are a part of it. I welcome it. I think you got to learn to do that. I think, you know, as a performer, you definitely got to learn to do that. But I think even as a fan, you just have to accept that that's part of it. If you're signing up for it, I miss it when I don't have it. It's why I need to have some, you know, something. There's going to be some downside. You got to be able to hurt me. Otherwise, I'm not getting the full experience.
I think one facet of all of that for a lot of fans would be that this is year 5 of this. And that was a big talking point through the year, the off season and into the season, was how with each playoff failure, the next one just seems like more crucial the next year to avoid it. Because eventually you run out. And this is not me saying, like, this is it. And I think what can add to anxiety in the wild card is that you're, like, more than a touchdown favorite at home against a team that we really haven't taken seriously at all. Like, there's been no conversation about this season and where it's headed that involved the Denver Broncos at any point until, like, 2 weeks ago when it looked like they would be the opponent.
And at that, it was, I hope they're the opponent.
That's right.
For a lot of us. It wasn't like, oh, no. It was like, yeah, that's my preferred outcome, actually. So,
but everybody knows all of this. They've been so close. They've been so good. And they've been so close. And now here is your, I say 5. I mean, you could use 2019 or even 2017. Those are McDermott teams. 19 is an Allen team. 20 is when it got real. 20 is COVID, and these guys are great.
Mm-hmm.
Not just good, they're great. Allen is great. From there to now, 4 years, give or take a few days. Like, it's a fifth realistic opportunity to win it. And this week, you know, you can't lose this week. You lose to Baltimore, other teams are good. You lose to Kansas City, that's happened. You can't lose to Denver.
No.
So there's your anxiety is really, I mean, that'll be those future games too if they come, I mean, at least, because of the magnitude of all this, the importance that it's been placed on it. But, you know, this week is more of a...
Yeah, no, there's
a lot to lose.
I think emotionally for fans, there's a big difference between you could lose this game and you better not lose this game, right? Like, you play Baltimore, you play Kansas City, you could lose that game. Like, I think objectively, fans, even the dudes out there painting their face, yeah, you could lose the game. You got it going in. This one very much feels like you better not lose this game. It is. Did you mention the Jacksonville game from 96 yesterday or the day before?
That sounds like
I feel like it came up. I think maybe I'm walking into a trap. I feel kind of about this game like I felt about that game. And you know, it doesn't line up exactly year by year, but it's close enough. I mean, the Bills got good in 88, 89, so it's a longer tenure still. But by 96, like, all we knew was, they're in the Wildcat. Fine, it's a team from Florida. It's January. They wear teal. Come on, get out of here. There's no way that they can hang and punch with Buffalo. And they came up here, and they did, and they beat the Bills. So, I don't know, it might be, you know, Denver's not from Florida, obviously, but I might be making...
Denver is not from Florida.
I might be making... I'm pretty sure of that. I might be making the same mistake here, but I feel like you better not lose this game. It's Denver. Come on.
That's a nice position to be in when you're on the other side.
If you're Denver, yeah.
Nothing to lose. This is the eighth playoff game, Bills playoff game of their last 10 to be played at home. And fifth straight. Working backwards, Kansas City and Pittsburgh last year, Cincinnati and Miami the year before that. The only two road games since 2020 have been at Arrowhead.
See, that's the good thing about losing in the divisional round. If you're the two seed, you don't ever have to go.
You have to travel.
You never have to go on the road. You get home field advantage.
You don't have to travel.
I'm so sorry.
So, 8 out of 10 in the last 5 years have been home games. Indianapolis, Baltimore, New England, Miami, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Denver. Eight different teams. How about that?
Well, Baltimore would be the first repeat if they get in here next week.
And if it's Houston or the Chargers, it would be nine.
It's a big if.
Houston or the Chargers would make nine.
Right. Sorry.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Eight playoff games at home in five seasons, against eight different teams. And Nance and Romo have called the last six, including this one. Jim Nance and Tony Romo are up to eight with this game, eight Bills playoff games each as a team, eight for each guy. Dick Enberg had 10. No one else has more than eight.
All right. Well,
that happened kind of quickly that Tony Romo became by far
the
person who has been the color man for most Bills playoff games easily.
Next week. What?
Go ahead.
If
I'm listening.
If Baltimore wins, if Buffalo wins, and so we get that. That's divisional round. Kansas City's hosting the winner of Chargers Texans. Nance and Romo go to Kansas City, right? They're the number one seed.
I think no. Maybe, but Baltimore Buffalo could be Sunday night.
Oh, okay.
Sunday night is NBC.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, Detroit and Minnesota again, or the MVP thing.
Yeah.
Baltimore Buffalo is Sunday night.
Yeah. So I was just thinking, like, they could eclipse Enberg this year. Like, if it.
They could. They don't have the Super Bowl. Fox does.
Okay. So they could. If they got next week, they could get to nine, and then the title game would be 10.
Do they play 4 and 8 on Sunday night now in the divisional round? There's no 1 o'clock Sunday divisional game anymore because there's Sunday night, so it has to be 4 and 8.
I have that here. I don't have obviously
both days are going to be 4 and 8.
Nothing is filled in, but the times are out there. So I don't know if the times aren't even listed. Damn it!
But I
think that's right.
Or not 4 and 8. Well. What was Bills Kansas City?
3:30, 6:30 they've done for the championship games. Is that maybe what is it closer to that maybe?
What was Kansas City Buffalo? Sunday late?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Is there a game after that? I have to look now. Matt is next. Hi, Matt.
Hey guys, I've heard that comparison with the Jags 96 playoff game before, and I have to say I don't buy it because for a few reasons. One, well, I was at that game, but neither here nor there growing up. One, Kelly was on his last leg. He was terrible that year. He had thrown 11 touchdowns and 19 interceptions with a 58% completion rate. So, I mean, he was bad. And the offense couldn't score points. they averaged under 20 points a game that year, and it's the defense that was propping them up.
You're right. You're right, Matt. Not to cut you off, but like, it's not worth elaborating on that. I mean, it's just, there are lots of reasons to think it's different. You're right. That was the, I remember that game too, and Bob Trumpy saying the week before, the Bills had to beat Kansas City the week before to make the playoffs. The winner of that game made the playoffs. He said the winner of this game will be the worst team in the playoffs. So somebody at least was making an argument the Bills were the worst team in the playoffs. They just never lost a playoff game at Rich Stadium, right, and they're playing an expansion team. That's really it. So not to cut you short, but sound quality wasn't great, and we got it. Like that, there's no need to elaborate on that. Last year, Kansas City Buffalo was CBS, and it was the last game of the weekend. So there was not a Sunday night game. Maybe it was a Saturday night. NBC, maybe.
Yeah.
San Francisco, Green Bay? Would that have been it? I don't know.
Yeah.
No need to elaborate on this either, I guess. honestly, in fairness to Matt.
Right.
But
yeah,
it was a like 3 and 6:30 or something like that.
Yeah.
That game kicked at 6:30.
That's what 6:30. I think. 3 and 6:30 is what I remember. Yeah.
All right, well, so, that's Nance and Romo then, if that's next week.
Unless they go to Kansas City. That's where I started here. Like, will they go to Kansas City?
No,
because they're the top team.
No,
the Ravens Bills is the
Ravens game. And the Bills would be the game of the year.
Yeah,
that is it.
Yeah,
I think we'll see.
Yeah,
thanks for the call, Matt. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, the Steve Foley Law pregame show with Paul Hamilton, Sabres Senators coming up at 6:00. Mm. This is what
I just thought about how Kansas City, if in fact they decide to not send Nance and Romo to Kansas City as the one seed and the three-time Super Bowl champions already and send them to Buffalo, that Kansas City is going to use that as a rallying cry. That'll be Travis Kelce yelling into cameras on TV, "Hey, you didn't respect us!" And I'm going to hate him all over again, even though he's still in love with Taylor Swift, which is my favorite thing about the Chiefs ever.
Was Baltimore-Houston an NBC game? I'll figure this out. Back after this on WGR. For those interested, last year, divisional round, Saturday, 4:30, Texans-Ravens was an ESPN ABC game. That was Buck and Aikman. 8:15, Fox for Green Bay-San Francisco. Then Sunday, 3 o'clock, Tampa at Detroit was NBC. So they're not locked in on a night game. That's last year anyway. And then Kansas City Buffalo was 6:30 on CBS, which makes that the game of the weekend. And that's what I think Baltimore Buffalo would be. But I don't know necessarily what network that'll be. It's not. There's not a Sunday night football game on Sunday night.
And even the Saturday night game, which I might have thought, oh, well, if there's not a Sunday night game, then Saturday night will be NBC, but it wasn't.
No.
So there's no pattern to discern here, at least one that's discernible to me or us right now.
Correct.
So good work.
Good work, everyone.
I mean it about this. If Nance and Romo don't go to Kansas City, this is going to be big trouble. if they have the option to go. I mean, if there's only the two games and NBC gets one, then maybe they won't get it.
They'll get one game and Nance and Romo will do it.
Right. All right. So there will be no slight.
Real quick.
Perceived or otherwise.
There have been, I believe, 6 defensive or special teams touchdowns scored by the Bills in the playoffs. Can you name 5?
6.
I'm jamming this in. You're right.
6 defensive or special teams touchdowns. Okay, well, Jeff Burris had a pick 6 against the Jaguars in a losing effort.
That's the second hardest one.
All right.
That's the only game they lost of these 6. The caller before is like, sure, you guys bring that up again. You wouldn't let me talk about it.
I'm taking too long. I'm getting the I'm getting the buzzer. I could probably get there if I had more time, but I can't. So.
Paul's in the back waiting.
Paul's in the green room.
Taron Johnson.
Of course. That was so easy.
Working back chronologically. Taron Johnson, Burris, Carlton Bailey, Talley.
Of course.
Charlie Romes.
Okay.
On a fumbled opening kickoff.
That's right. Jets.
In the Jet wildcard game in 81. And Butch Bird. in the 65 title game. Had a punt return touchdown in San Diego. Balboa Stadium. The Bills won that game, I think, in a shutout.
I watched that with my dad.
You know, I have not been able to find out TV for those two games. Either, I need Ange.
I was either not born or one or 6 months old. I don't know.
Like, could you watch? Was there a local broadcast of those AFL championship games? Would there have been a national one?
Yeah, I don't know.
That website I use for the announcers, Gridiron Uniforms, does not list broadcasters for those games in those years. Paul Hamilton and the Steve Foley Law pregame show after this. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, the Sabres and the Senators coming up here on WGR.